Well, hello and welcome back to the Rested Culture Show. I'm your host, Frank Ebersold, and as always, we're starting the show here with an interesting little tune, and I'm sure you're wondering why. Why did he pick "Do You Think I'm Sexy" from Rod Stewart? Well, you're just going to have to hang in there, and I'll tell you why. Going to have to hang in there. But we're going to... But today we're going to kick off the show talking about the Florida Boys. And you know who I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the Florida congressman that loved dissing Robert Mueller. And one of them in particular here came to my attention, Ron DeSantis. Florida Congressman Ron DeSantis. Yep. He's running for Florida governor, believe it or not. And you might not find this surprising, but a handful of billionaires have thrown their support behind Ron DeSantis. And this is all according to an article that's coming out of Politico. And it's important here, the article goes in to say, because the money that he's receiving could prove instrumental in his race, because in a state that's as big as Florida, where a week's worth of saturation TV during the next year's general election could cost as much as $3 million, cash is king, according to Politico. And you might not find this surprising, but we've got supporters that are kicking money to Ron DeSantis. They include Sheldon Adelson, hedge fund heiress Rebecca Mercer. She's always there, isn't she? Just sloshing money around left and right to all of her conservative causes. And you've also got investment tycoon Foster Friis, in addition to other donors, of course, who have helped funded Donald Trump's 2016 campaign. And let's not forget the Koch brothers. They're in there as well. They've got their checkbook coming out for old Ron DeSantis. And Donald Trump just recently tweeted, this is on December 22nd, Donald Trump said, "Congressman Ron DeSantis is a brilliant young leader, Yale and then Harvard Law, who would make a great governor of Florida. He loves our country and is a true fighter." Well, folks, I have to tell you that a Yale and Harvard education doesn't make you smart in this case. I'm sorry to say, Donald Trump, it doesn't work like that. And the interesting thing here is that, you know, old Ron DeSantis, he's a member, as we know, he's a member of the conservative House Freedom Caucus. He's a supporter of Donald Trump's recent decision to move to make Jerusalem the home of the U.S. Embassy in Israel. And of course, as we know, he opposes the special counsel Bob Mueller's Russia probe, even calling for it to end after 6 months. Well, that's the scary part of what he's been up to. Excuse me. And as you remember in that last episode that I did, you know, folks, and we're not peddling fiction, we're not peddling fake news here, and I'm not going to pander to Donald Trump, as you can imagine, but in that last episode, we talked about information that was hacked by Guccifer 2.0, and this information was actually used to benefit the congressional elections of many of these Florida senators that we're hearing from right now, that are doing all the complaining, the loudmouths, the Florida boys. And in particular, Ron DeSantis actually was able to use information that was published, five documents, in fact, regarding the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, which, by the way, supports Democratic House candidates. There were five documents that were obtained by Guccifer 2.0 that Ron DeSantis made use of against his Democratic opponent, George Pappas. And according to the Wall Street Journal, Guccifer 2.0 even sent a link with the website Hello FLA. And as I mentioned in the last episode, Hello FLA, that website was run by a former congressional staffer named Aaron Nevins. And Guccifer 2.0 even sent a link with Hello FLA in an article in there directly to Roger Stone, who obviously told reporters he didn't forward the hack material to anybody. You know, another guy I'm not real fond of, Roger Stone. But the thing is that a lot of these guys that are doing a lot of the complaining right now about the Mueller investigation, and I'm talking about Ron DeSantis, I'm talking about Carlos Cubellos of Florida, They benefited. I find it really strange that all these Florida congressmen, even Francis Rooney in there, I'm not sure if he benefited, but I wouldn't be surprised. Old Looney Rooney was on TV last weekend. They're coming out of the woodwork, loudmouthing, and complaining that the FBI should either be purged, is their complaint, or that it should be defunded. And it's really strange that Ron DeSantis, you know, obviously, as I mentioned to you, he's now running for governor of Florida, and Congressman Carlos Cabello of Florida, it's really strange that they all appear to have, these two guys especially, appear to have directly benefited in their elections from leaked information by Guccifer 2.0. Now, do you think that's why they want the Mueller probe to end? Do you think? And I really, really hope Bob Mueller is probing their electoral victories and the amount of influence that hacked information from Guccifer 2.0 played into those victories for the Florida boy congressman. Now, DeSantis wants to be governor. You got to be kidding me here, folks. I mean, the man should be locked up. He should be locked up, really. Lock him up. Throw the keys away. Well, one of the interesting things that we had happen over the weekend, as you know, Donald Trump is down there in Mar-a-Lago enjoying all that nice, wonderful, wonderful weather. And it's so damn cold up here. That alone just makes me mad that he's down there enjoying that weather. That'll do it. Well, on Thursday of last week, Donald Trump gave an interview, kind of a surprise interview, to a New York Post reporter whose name was Michael Schmidt. And in that interview, he mentioned no Russian collusion about 16 times. And folks, I'll tell you what, in my view, if he is that concerned about dismissing Russian collusion, then there probably is Russian collusion. And additionally, Donald Trump said he expected Bob Mueller to treat him fairly in this investigation. Now, the very next morning after that interview that he gave, President Trump spent his Friday morning tweeting about his approval ratings, the fake news coverage of his presidency, and the investigation into the Russian meddling in the 2016 election, which is a very fond subject of his lately, isn't it? Highly. And here's a tweet that Donald Trump sent out on, let's see, this was sent out December 29th, 6:46 a.m. And I quote Donald Trump here. He says, "While the fake news loves to talk about my so-called low approval rating, at Fox and Friends just showed that my rating on December 28th, 2017 was approximately the same as President Obama's on December 28th, 2009, which was 47%. And this despite massive negative Trump coverage and Russia hoax." Well, there we have it. He just had to throw in that Russia hoax. Russia hoax. That's all we hear. It's always something. Even Sandra Huckabee Sanders is getting in on the act. She called it a Russian hoax the other day. I mean, it's endless. It's endless. It's all a big hoax, folks. They want you to believe that. And he's still trying to discredit Special Counsel Bob Mueller's Russia probe. And even as the whole scope of this thing is getting wider and wider, and several former Trump associates have been indicted or charged. And this is just going to keep gathering steam. It's like a snowball. Excuse me, going downhill. It's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger. So, how do you expect the man leading the investigation into the Russian collusion as well as obstruction of justice to be fair when you wake up the very next morning after that interview and then call his Russian investigation the Russian hoax? I mean, how does that work? When you sit down, you give an interview, and you say, "I expect Bob Mueller to be fair," and then the next morning you wake up and you call it the Russian hoax. So this man, Robert Mueller, is in charge of the Russian hoax? I mean, folks, I don't get it. I mean, there's something not right here. There's some meds on a shelf that aren't being consumed, and they should be. Donald, take your meds. Something's not right here. I don't know the logic in someone's head, how you can say that one day, wake up the next day and say something like that. It's a bit of a mystery, but nobody said it had to make sense. Nobody ever said life had to make sense, did they? Especially when it comes to Donald Trump. And, at the end of the interview, this is kind of interesting, Donald Trump says and predicted that the press is going to let him win in 2020 to protect its ratings. Oh, God. I've heard it all. And he supposedly doesn't drink. You know, that's what I've heard. Supposedly, all this comes out of his mouth, and there's no drinking going on, from what we hear. So, you know, I'd love to hear all these people, all the Florida congressmen and even our president call foul against the Mueller investigation. I'd love to hear Donald Trump call it a witch hunt. And now the Russia hoax, it just never ends. They've got some real, real serious fake reality going on here, folks. I mean, did you even hear this weekend that George Papadopoulos, this was one of the big things that came out, told an Australian diplomat that the Russians had dirt by way of thousands of emails on Hillary Clinton all the way back into May of 2016. And we now know, one, there is no Russia hoax, as the president calls it, and two, the Mueller investigation isn't just going to shut down and go away. So let me ask you, Mr. President, let me ask you this. Did this so-called coffee boy, George Papadopoulos, make this information of Hillary Clinton's email hack available to you back then? Did you maybe even know the Russians were willing to help all the way back into June 16th of 2015? All the way back then, when in New York City, when you announced that you were going to run for president, what did you know about this Russian email hack on Hillary Clinton? And when did you know it? That's what I want to know. So this so-called Russian hoax, it's no hoax, Mr. President. It's no hoax. In fact, this so-called coffee boy, George Papadopoulos, is now the reason the whole hoax even began. Isn't that something else? That's the reason. Was that tip-off? And not only is this Mueller investigation not a hoax, but you should be thanking the FBI, Mr. President. You should be thanking the FBI. That's right. You should be down on your knees and thanking the darned FBI that somehow this information that kicked off the FBI investigation wasn't leaked back in May of 2016. When the Australian tipped off the FBI, that Australian diplomat tipped off the FBI on what George Papadopoulos said. You should be thankful to the FBI, not slamming them, calling up this whole thing a hoax, and with all your little henchmen out there calling for it to be purged. You should thank the dear Lord the start of the FBI investigation into this information that George Papadopoulos told that Australian diplomat wasn't made public back then, because you just may not be president if that had happened. Think about it before you talk. Well, the funny thing is, I haven't heard of any Republicans since that information came out. It's a little bit early, but it is kind of funny that I haven't heard of any Republicans saying this is all a hoax since that revelation from coffee boy George Papadopoulos. It's kind of nice, actually. So, folks, stay right there. I'm going to grab a cup of coffee here, take a swig, and I'll be right back. And, did you hear old Marco Rubio down there in Florida? He gave an interview, and just a kind of an interesting thing here. He said, if I were a king for a day, this tax bill would have looked a lot different. I thought we probably went too far on helping corporations. By and large, and I'm quoting Marco Rubio here, you're going to see a lot of these multinationals buy back shares to drive up their stock price. Some of them will be forced, because they're sitting on historic levels of cash, to pay out dividends to shareholders. That isn't going to create dramatic economic growth. That's not going to create dramatic economic growth. Well, I could have told you that. In fact, I did tell you that, and we've been ranting about that. Everybody, I think, has been ranting about that fact, about this tax cut. It just doesn't end, does it, folks? Well, hang on there. You know what? We've got some Looney Tunes coming up here. That's right. You remember that old Milwaukee sheriff that was up there on stage, Donald Trump's surrogate? Remember him? Yep. His name is, he was a Milwaukee County sheriff, and his name was David Clark. And there's a federal court reporter for the Detroit News that just stumbled across a major scoop about this guy. And he goes on to say his name is Robert Snell. And he goes on to say the FBI is investigating former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, a Donald Trump surrogate, according to search warrant affidavit I just stumbled upon. And this was released on December 29th. And gosh, evidently, there was an incident at an airport that occurred. This is going all the way back to January 15th of, well, what is now this year, 2017, about to roll away into 2018. But this occurred in January 15th of 2017. And it's kind of interesting because the investigation here was motivated by an incident that took place at Mitchell Airport, Milwaukee, after a man named Dan Black looked at Sheriff Clark the wrong way during a flight from Dallas that they were both booked on in January. And this article is actually coming from the Washington Press, is where I got this from. Some of the text in this. And it goes on to say that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported on the incident back in May in an article with the headline, Sheriff Clark directed staff to hassle plane passenger after brief exchange. And this story goes into a little bit more detail of how Black, this man, Dan Black, he was detained, he was interviewed, and he was escorted out of Mitchell International Airport on January 15th by a half dozen deputies after he, Dan Black, had passed the sheriff while boarding the plane, folks. I mean, he's getting on the plane, he's boarding the plane, and he stopped to ask if he was indeed Sheriff Clark. And then he shook his head and walked away to his assigned seat. So, evidently, let's just suffice to say that the guy wasn't impressed with Sheriff Clark. Well, old Sheriff Clark, going on from the article here, while fond of accusing people with liberal sympathies as snowflakes, he must have been feeling particularly vulnerable himself that day, since according to the FBI search warrant affidavit, he immediately texted his office and requested that they meet his flight. What do you think of that? He texted his office and requested that they meet his flight and detain this guy, Black, for, quote-unquote, a field interview. And Robert Snell provides an excerpt of the affidavit here. And it goes in to say, basically, you can look at the, if you look at Robert Snell News is the Twitter feed, you can get the information on it, that affidavit information. But it goes on to say that they've got an exchange here, which is kind of weird, between text messages that Sheriff David Clark sent. And here's some of the excerpts here. So this is coming from a Captain Wittek cell phone. And here's Sheriff Clark and Captain Wittek kind of going back and forth. So Sheriff Clark says, are you working? The captain says, yes, I just spoke to Inspector Bailey and he informed me of what was going on. And the captain says, we will meet you. And Sheriff Clark says, 10-4. You remember from the CB days, 10-4, big buddy. Yeah, that's Sheriff Clark for you. Well, Sheriff Clark says, 10-4, just a field interview, no arrest until he becomes an a-hole with your guys. Sheriff Clark then goes on to say, question for him is why he said anything to me. Why didn't he just keep his mouth shut? Follow him to baggage claim and out the door. You can escort me to carousel after I point him out. Wow. So here's Sheriff Clark. Somebody just gets on the plane and, you know, gives him the wrong feeling, and he gets his guys down there to, you know, evidently detain this guy and, you know, make trouble for him. And the article goes on to say here that apparently Clark is under the impression that asking him his name and having a negative reaction to his reputation somehow constitutes grounds for questioning. Oh, God. That just never ends. Never ends. So this whole thing in that exchange, it's all public information. And, you know, that did not prevent old Sheriff Clark here from responding just yesterday. By Twitter, he says, "Breaking news! When lying lib media makes up fake news to smear me, the antidote is to go right at them. Punch them in the nose and make them taste their own blood. Nothing gets a bully like lying liberal media's attention better than to give them a taste of their own blood." Well, the picture that he actually published with this was a meme of a wrestler, Donald Trump holding a guy that has CNN over his head, and then this other guy is Sheriff Dave Clark, is supposed to be that guy, giving him a kick. So, you know, it's childish, folks. It's just childish. And I mean, this is a man that was actually considered as an assistant to Homeland Security for the president. I mean, this is what a doof. I mean, come on. Nuts. Anyway, that's Sheriff Clark for you. But I'm going to move on to an article here that, or not an article, but this is an interview that old Senator Lindsey Graham, the good old senator from South Carolina, Clemson, South Carolina, and he also serves on the Senate Armed Services Committee, and he said this back on July 9th. And this is coming from July 9th and an interview that he gave with Meet the Press with Chuck Todd.
"It didn't change the outcome. It creates suspicion. There is no evidence of collusion that I've seen. But the more he talks about this in terms of not being sure, the more he throws our intelligence communities under the bus, the more he's willing to forgive and forget Putin, the more suspicion. And I think it's going to dog his presidency until he breaks this cycle."
And the interesting thing about that is, you know, he was spot on. And here we are almost in January, within a day of 2018, 6 months later, and Senator Graham, he hit the nail right on the head. You know, that whole thing still dogs the presidency, and Donald Trump has not been able to break that cycle by calling this whole thing a hoax and throwing the FBI under the bus. And I don't always agree with Senator Graham, obviously, but, you know, he's not all that bad. I don't agree with him, but he is not as bad as some of the other guys that are out there. He's somebody that I think you could actually sit down with, and you could have a beer with him, and you could work on stuff. Actually, you wouldn't mind working with somebody like that. But to his credit, Senator Graham really hasn't changed his story if we come into today. In fact, this is what he said today, Sunday, December 31st, on Face the Nation with Major Garrett.
"Dossier matter.
No, the dossier, I want somebody to look at how the Department of Justice handled the dossier. As to the Russian investigation, I don't think it hurts our country to look at what Russia did in our election. As a matter of fact, it would hurt us if we ignored it. There's no evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians yet, but it will be up to Mr. Mueller to make that decision. Some Democrats want to impeach the president. He's denied any collusion. Here's what I want to happen. Mr. Mueller to do his job without interference, and I want somebody to look at the way the Department of Justice used this dossier. It bothers me greatly the way they used it, and I want somebody to look at it. But 2018, this investigation will go forward. It will be an investigation conducted without political influence. And the president needs to focus on his day job. I need to focus on being a senator. And we all need to let Mr. Mueller do his job.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, just do your job, Mr. President. This whole thing is going to go on. We're going to complete this investigation, whether you like it or not. And it isn't a hoax, as I just mentioned to you. So the Mueller probe, it's just going to continue because it's simply not a hoax. It's not a hoax, folks. it's going to continue. Well, did you know, I want you to hear ye. I want you to know that Donald's going to get a checkup. Yes, the old Donald is going to be getting a checkup here. He's going to be undergoing his first physical that he's ever had in public office, and it's going to be on Friday, January 12th. Put that on your calendars. And the White House has confirmed that. And our good old friend there, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders, has confirmed that the physical is going to take place at the Walter Reed National Military Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland. And it's going to be performed by Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson, MD. And he's going to conduct the exam and report the results. And evidently, Jackson has been in that role since 2013, and he also examined and treated President Obama. So I wonder if he's going to make any sort of comparison for us between the health of Donald Trump and Obama. Do you think he'll go that far? Probably not. But it's going to be kind of interesting what we get out of this, because, you know, as you recall, remember that time that the president kind of fumbled his words and I called him lamb chop? Remember that? Here it is.
God bless the United States. Thank you very much.
Well, everybody kind of wondered what the heck was going on. So this checkup is going to give us a little bit of insight into just how healthy he is. And if you'll recall, the White House said when Donald Trump kind of stumbled through his words like that, that the president's throat was dry and it was nothing more than that. Well, we're going to get a one-page letter describing Mr. Trump's medical history here, folks. And you're going to get things like his cholesterol levels, his blood pressure. You know, I don't need to know this. God, testosterone level? Barf, who cares? Yikes. Okay, so kind of moving right on here. If you recall that the last time he had a physical exam, it was by a New York doctor, Dr. Bornstein. Remember that? Back on September 9th of 2016. And in that medical letter from Dr. Bornstein that was... that was actually going back in December of 2015. So in that letter, Dr. Bornstein said, "If elected, Mr. Trump, I can state unequivocally, will be the healthiest individual ever elected to a presidency." That sounded like a lot of propaganda to me. I can't wait to get the real scoop here. Well, folks, I want to, we're going to lead into this one more time here. Yes, indeed. That is Rod Stewart's there, "Do You Think I'm Sexy?" And we're going to kind of go into a timeline here, just a little bit. And I've got in my show notes, by the way, which I publish on iTunes, in the show notes, there's a link to this article that you can click to. And you can get the full article and check it out yourself. But this just goes into... we're going to leave you this year with a little bit of creepiness. This is going back to when Donald Trump owned Miss Universe. And this article is by Rolling Stones magazine. And it's from October 12th of 2016. And again, the show notes are there. Click on it. You can read it again for fun. But back then, I'm just going to give you a quick synopsis here. Donald Trump was forced to sell. He had to sell the Miss Universe organization, which I didn't know, which includes sister scholarship programs, Miss USA and Miss Teen USA. He sold those back in 2015 after his incendiary comments about the Mexicans drove away broadcasters, NBC and Univision. Those two things. But did you know that Donald Trump owned that pageant for nearly two decades, during which time he would have had the opportunity to come in contact with 4,000 beauty queens? Lovely. And this is on the heels of the damaging videotape in which Trump and former Access Hollywood host Billy Bush salivated over Days of Our Lives actress Arianne Zucker, and he joked about sexually assaulting women. You remember all that. This all came under the allegations also that Donald Trump entered the Miss Teen USA changing room. God, we're girls, folks, listen to this. We're girls as young as 15. As young as 15 years old, we're in various states of undress. I mean, that's creepy. Do you think I'm sexy? No, hell no. God. And here's one, and this is also in the article by Rolling Stone. Maria Bilodeau, Maria Bilodeau, and she was Miss Teen Vermont 1997. She told BuzzFeed, "I remember putting on my dress really quick because I was like, oh my God, there's a man in here. Not just any man, the future president of the United States, the creepiest of them all." And three other teenage contestants from the same year confirmed that story. The former pageant contestants discussed their memories of the incident after former Miss Arizona Tasha Dixon told Los Angeles' CBS affiliate that Trump had entered the Miss USA dressing room in 2001 when she was a contestant. "He just came strolling right in," she said. "There was no second to put on a robe or any sort of clothing or anything. Some girls were topless. Other girls were naked. Our first introduction to Donald Trump was when we were at the dress rehearsal and he was half naked in our changing room and we were just there half naked in our bikinis." Well, Dixon went on to say that employees of the Miss Universe organization encouraged the contestants to lavish Trump with attention when he came in. Gross. Gross. And the Trump campaign obviously did not offer any response to either story, but in a 2005 appearance on Howard Stern's show, Donald Trump bragged about exactly doing what the woman described. Donald said, "I'll go backstage before a show and everyone's getting dressed and ready and everything else," he said. Donald said his position as the pageant's owner entitled him to that kind of access, he explained, seemingly aware that what he was doing made the woman feel uncomfortable. Oh yes, it would, wouldn't it? Hell yes, hell yes. Damn. Of course it would. Old. Ugh. And, you know, Donald Trump said this, "You know, no men are anywhere, and I'm allowed to go in because I'm the owner of the pageant, and therefore I'm inspecting it. Is everyone okay? You know, they're standing there with no clothes, and you see these incredible-looking women, and so I sort of get away with things like that." Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. So this is, it goes into all of the timeline here of the creepiness, but there is nothing more creepy than Donald Trump walking in with his entourage and inspecting us closer than any general had ever inspected a platoon. He would stop in front of a girl, look her up and down, and say, "Hmm." Then he would go on and do the same thing to the next girl. He took notes on a little pad as he kind of marched along. And Donald Trump said, "Okay, I want all the girls to come forward." Donald Trump looked at Miss Alabama. "Come here," he said. She took one step forward. "Tell me, who's the most beautiful woman here?" And her eyes swam around. "Besides me," she said. "I like Arkansas. She's sweet." "I don't care if she's sweet. Is she hot?" Oh, God. It just goes on here, folks. I mean, this is... of course, he's categorically denied any of this. Any of this. Any of this. But I'll tell you what I believe. You don't have to even wonder what I believe about the whole thing. Fact is, I think he's creepy. Creepy as hell. And that's what I'm going to leave you with here, is a creepier than hell Donald Trump, our president of the United States, folks. And I want to thank you for joining us this week, and we will be back in 2018. I want to wish you the best of the best, and tell your friends about us in the next year. Tell them. Let them know about the Rested Culture. But meanwhile, I want to thank you for listening, and we're going to page out here on Rod Stewart's "Do You Think I'm Sexy?" It's a remix. Here we go, folks. Have a great 2018.